This is Earth Files, the award-winning news site with the latest updates in science, environment, and real X-Files. Podcasting in-depth reports beyond the 6 o'clock news by Emmy Award-winning journalist Linda Moulton Howe.
On March 18, 2009, Corpus Christi police investigated a cat found cut in half near the city's Club Estates Elementary School on the south side of Corpus Christi. The cat was cut cleanly through its middle with a smooth incision. Its organs had been removed and were not at the scene. No blood, no tracks. 31 cat mutilations have been reported to Corpus Christi police since April 2008. 12 of those 31 cats have been found in the same general area on the south side of the city. Police have no suspects and have not made any arrests. Anyone with information, please call Corpus Christi Crime Stoppers at 361-888-8477. Over the years, recurring cycles of cat mutilations have been reported in England, Canada, and many states in America. Texas has had repeated cat mutilations in Corpus Christi, San Antonio, Austin, and Plano, suburb north of Dallas. In 1991, 1993, and the late 1990s, Texas police received dozens of reports about cats found cut in half, usually with the front half near the owner's yard or sidewalk. Plano Police Detective Mike Box also had missing reports of more than 80 domestic house cats that wore collars and ID tags but were never found. Detective Box investigated satanic cult activities but could never find any evidence that connected them to the mutilated and missing cats and other animals such as dogs. Only 4 days before the half-cat was found in Corpus Christi, on Sunday, March 15, 2009, I was in Weston, Colorado, about a half hour west of Trinidad, to meet rancher Mike Duran. He found one of his cows dead and mutilated the week before on Sunday, March 8th. He did not see the mother with her calf during feeding on Saturday and guesses she died Friday night, March 6th. Mike is 49 years old, born and raised in Weston, Colorado, where you can see the white cap Sangre de Cristo Mountains from his pasture. Beyond those mountains to the west are the Great Sand Dunes and the town of Alamosa in the San Luis Valley, where in September 1967, ranchers Burl and Nellie Lewis made international news when their three-year-old Appaloosa horse named Lady was found dead and stripped of flesh from the neck up. All of her chest organs had also been bloodlessly and surgically removed. The exposed skeleton was so white and clean, it looked like the bones had laid in the sun for days. But the ranchers knew she was well and alive only 2 nights before. Now she laid in dry, dusty soil with no tracks around her, not even her own. Lady's last track stopped 100 feet southeast of her dead and mutilated body. Burl Lewis told me in a phone interview back in the 1980s, quote, "It looked like she jumped around in a circle, but there was nothing else, no tracks of any kind between there and where we found her. It was clean all around her body," close quote. However, 40 feet south of her body was a broken bush. Burl told me, quote, "Around the bush was a 3-foot circle of 6 or 8 holes in the ground about 4 inches across and 3 to 4 inches deep," close quote. Burl, Nellie, and other ranchers in the San Luis Valley said that summer of 1967, very strange aerial objects were seen over the valley, and the ranchers wondered if the UFOs had something to do with the bizarre death of Lady. That's why the Pueblo, Colorado Chieftain newspaper headlined, quote, "Dead Horse Riddle Sparks UFO Buffs," close quote. Unexplained aerial lights, beams, discs, triangles, and other odd aerial phenomena have been linked with the worldwide animal mutilation since at least the 1950s. Denver, Colorado pathologist and hematologist John Altshuler, M.D., now deceased, was so curious about the unusual horse death in the San Luis Valley back in 1967 that he privately drove down to Alamosa to see the horse. In my first book, An Alien Harvest, I reprinted a September 1967 eyewitness report written by Dr. Altshuler about what he found. He wrote, quote, "When I got close to the horse, I could see that it was also cut from the neck down to the base of the chest in a vertical, clean incision. At the edge of the cut, there was a darkened color as if the flesh had been opened and cauterized with a surgical cauterizing blade. I cut tissue samples from the hard, darker edge. Later, I viewed the tissue under a microscope. At the cell level, there was discoloration and destruction consistent with changes caused by burning. Most amazing was the lack of blood. I have done hundreds of autopsies. You cannot cut into a body without getting some blood. But there was no blood on the skin or on the ground, no blood anywhere. That impressed me the most. Then, inside the horse's chest, I remember the lack of organs. Whoever did the cutting took the horse's heart, lungs, and thyroid. The mediastinum was completely empty and dry. How do you get the heart out without blood? It was an incredible dissection of organs without any evidence of blood." Close quote. During the late 1980s and through most of the 1990s, Dr. Altshuler confirmed cooked hemoglobin and cooked collagen in the excisions of many different animal mutilations, ranging from half cats and rabbits to horses and cattle. Dr. Altshuler had me look in his laboratory microscope at mutilation tissue, and we compared it to tissue samples from known laser surgeries. Earth life is carbon-based, but there was no carbon residue on the animal mutilation tissues. In contrast, there were always small black grains of carbon on the known laser surgery tissues. As director of special projects at the CBS station in Denver, Colorado, the documentary I produced in 1979 to 1980, entitled A Strange Harvest, was about the animal mutilation mystery. And how ironic that my first October 1979 film location with the KMGH-TV crew then was in the Walsenburg and Trinidad region, and now 30 years later, I am back on the same ground investigating more mutilated animals. So far, there has been one 28-year-old cow who had given birth to a calf 3 months before her bloodless death in Weston, and a one-week-old male calf found Tuesday morning, March 17th, in Honey, about 40 miles east of Mike Duran's dead and mutilated cow. First, the Duran Ranch in Weston. The March 8, 2009 mutilated cow is the second unusual animal death on that ranch. The first mutilation was November 1995 in the same valley pasture where Mike Duran has run a herd varying between 40 and 75 cattle over the past 15 years. Mike also has his master's degree in special education from Adams State College and now works at Trinidad High School about a half hour east of his Weston ranch. That first mutilation was a 5-year-old healthy white-faced Hereford with horns. Those horns had a strange fate in that 1995 mutilation.
You know, I found it odd right away that her udders were missing and she was turned upside down, and that's not a normal death. You know, usually if a cow dies, they're on their side and they're bloated up, and predators are starting, you know, especially magpies and crows, they're starting to poke at the eyes and the soft tissue where there was nothing. And then I noticed how the horns were pulled out also. The bone was still there. The shell was pulled off the horn. Just the shell. Because if you know the skull of a cow, when they grow the horns, it's also part of the bone. And if you cut the horns off, they're going to bleed. But they were not cut off. Just the shell from the horns were pulled out.
And that means the horns were there, but it was the bony part that was left sticking up?
Yes.
And that you found the outer shell of the horns lying next to that cow?
Yes, they were about 10 to 20 yards from the cow. It's like, just somebody very strong just pulled them out.
And you had seen her how many hours before then?
It was probably 16, 17 hours before that.
Did you get down and look really closely on the ground to see if there were any signs of struggle or tracks anywhere?
We looked all over. My dad spent a lot of time around the area. You know, he'd even go up at night and look, and he spent quite a bit looking for tracks, and he couldn't find anything.
Did you ask a veterinarian to come out and do a necropsy?
No, we didn't. The only thing is that I called our local game warden, and I says, can we see, you know, any predator got her? He says, well, you know, we can see. And we skinned it, he and I, and we did not find anything. My one question to him was, what if someone would have used a tranquilizer gun and shot her with it? And he says, well, if they did that, we would know when we skin her, because when you use a tranquilizer gun, it leaves a very big bruise.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, we'll find it. If that was the case, we skinned the whole cow and we could not find nothing.
So no bruises, no evidence of a puncture mark, and no teeth marks from a natural predator.
No, nothing.
That first animal, from your point of view and the game warden's point of view, was a mysterious death.
Yes. Then the second cattle mutilation we had was on Sunday, March the 8th, 2009. I believe she was mutilated, I'm assuming, Friday night, March the 6th, because on Saturday, March the 7th, when I fed my cows, I had just come from Santa Fe in the afternoon, and I went to go feed them at 3:30. And it was very windy that day, and I fed the cows by a barn. And usually, the only reason I know this cow is because she was my oldest cow, and because she had a calf, a three-month-old calf, and she was up in age. She was around 28 years old, and she had a calf, so I would feed her special. I would give her a bucket of grain every time I fed her, and we would drive away from the rest of the herd, and she'd follow, and I'd feed her alone, and she'd eat the grain, then go back and eat some of the hay. But Saturday, when I did feed them on March the 7th, I didn't see her, but it was so windy, and I was tired from the trip. I just fed the cows, and I left. Then on Sunday morning, March the 8th, about 10 o'clock in the morning when I fed the herd, I noticed that she wasn't there. With her being up in age, 28 years old for a cow, and, you know, having a three-month-old calf, the first thing that came to my mind was that she had died. And I went looking for her, and they usually bed down up in the trees, in the pinon trees up on the side of the hill, and I searched that area, and I searched another area, and I could not find her. And then when I looked over the edge of the hill there, I noticed down in the river valley, I saw her laying next to the river. First thing that came to mind is, you know, she just died of old age. So when I went and I checked on her, when I looked at her belly, it kind of seemed weird. So when I picked up her leg, I noticed that her single udder with the four teats was removed. The first thing that came back is mutilation. So I decided to look at the exterior opening of her vaginal opening, and the skin around it was also taken out. I said to myself, well, this is a mutilation. She didn't die of natural causes or old age.
This March 8th, 2009 cattle mutilation, it's the same excisions as the one in 1995 November.
Yes. The only difference is that this cow was a baldy. She did not have any horns.
Okay. And where was her calf?
Her calf was with the rest of the herd.
Is that normal that the calf would not be bleeding and trying to find the mother?
Sometimes the calf will be looking for the mother, but, you know, when I feed them, a lot of times the calf would come first, and then she would come later.
Down by the creek, the first thing I thought of when I looked at that photo was this would be a good place to look for tracks. Did you find anything unusual?
There were no tracks, and actually by her belly it was like it was mud. Not even a bird in sight. And usually when there's an animal, birds are there, especially magpies and crows.
Let's go to that question that I've been trying to get to the bottom of for so long. Who or what is killing and mutilating these animals around the world, and why? What do you personally think or talk about with your colleagues?
Well, some of my colleagues laugh at me, but I tell them I believe that there is people out in outer space. There's aliens or whatever. There's another life. Why they do this, I do not know. But I believe that there's another life in the universe, and I think they're so advanced that we cannot even pick them up on radar or anything.
This is a phenomenon that has been going on in both hemispheres of this planet for at least 50 or 60 years. there have been people in military, such as Lieutenant Colonel Philip J. Corso, who worked in the Pentagon during the Eisenhower administration. And he wrote in a book before he died that the perpetrators of the global animal mutilations were, this was the phrase he used, extraterrestrial biological entities.
I think so. I would believe that.
Before we talked, it sounds like you had come to that conclusion in your mind. What has persuaded you that what is doing the animal mutilations is something from outer space?
Just because no normal human being could, especially where this cow is, it's on the side of a little cliff next to the creek. You know, no one could have just moved it there. And I saw one other. It was 2 or 3 years after the 95 incident of my own. One of my neighbors down the road, he was taking care of some cows for another neighbor who was in California. And he come up and he says, hey, he said, I got this cow and she's kind of weird. He says, you have one mutilated. He says, why don't you come with me and take a look? And when we got there, it was the same as the first one. She was on her back and with her single udder taken out, and exterior of the vaginal opening was also taken out. But what was real weird about this cow is we saw the jawbone was taken also. I found it really odd when we found that one was in a circular pattern. A lot of the oak brush was like smashed down. It looked like something landed right on it.
Right, something round.
Something round, yes, landed on that and smashed that oak brush down. And then, you know, they did their thing and then they left.
How far from the brush that was pushed down in a circular pattern was the mutilated cow?
Anywhere between 10 and 20 yards.
So really close.
Very close, yes.
And on the ground between that circle in the brush and the mutilated animal, did you all find any tracks of any kind?
We didn't see anything.
Around the time of the first mutilation back in November 1995, did you or anyone else see anything strange and unidentified in the sky or even around this most recent one on March 8th?
Back in 1995, after that first mutilation, it happened on a Saturday night. I heard, and some friends had told me, that some of the guards or night watchmen at the local mine, and that mine is about a mile and a half from the pasture there, that they saw around midnight that night an object that was in a triangle shape. There were three lights, like at each one of the ends, that went over the mine. And they kind of thought it was odd.
And that would have been the night that you're pretty sure that your first mutilation had to have died because you saw her alive that afternoon and found her in the morning, right?
Correct.
What about the March 8th mutilation?
No, I asked the neighbors that live close by if they had heard any noise or seen anything, and the lady that lives close by, she said she didn't see anything. But about 3 weeks ago, I was driving home from work. It was around 4:15 in the afternoon. I saw a very shiny, round shape, completely round, and it was very, very shiny in the sky, and it was moving, and I kept watching it, and I said to myself, this is not an airplane. And I kept watching, and it just all of a sudden disappeared. And that's the second time in that same area. I saw that around the little town west of Trinidad. It's on my way to Trinidad from work or to home. It's by Cokedale. And I saw that up in the sky. And about a year and a half ago, I also saw around that same area, I saw a similar object just like that and disappear also. That was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay, so this one 3 weeks ago before your second mutilation, it's round, it's silver. If you extend your hand right now and you look at your fingers, what would it have taken from your hand to cover that object?
Probably my hand.
Your entire hand?
Yes.
So you're talking about looking at a round silver object in the sky big enough that it would take your hand to cover it, and this was only 3 weeks ago?
Yes.
And when you say it disappeared, what happened?
It just vanished.
It's there, it's big in the sky, and then it just...
It's like moving. It was moving. I said to myself, is that an airplane? And I said, that cannot be an airplane, because, you know, you can tell an airplane. And a lot of times airplanes also have their jet stream. And
airplanes are not round.
No, no. And this was just round and shiny, silver or white, whitish silver. And it was there moving, and then I kept looking, and it just disappeared.
Did you see it vanish, meaning pop out, as you were staring at it?
As I was staring at it, I didn't see it anymore. You know, I didn't see it zoom out or anything. It was there 1 second, and the next second it was gone.
On March 15th, I collected grass, willow, and soil samples from the Duran mutilation site, which were FedExed to biophysicist W.C. Levengood in Michigan to see if he can find evidence of energy anomalies in plants and soil near the cow's body, in contrast to samples collected far away. Based on my experiences investigating other animal mutilations, the front left leg of the Duran cow appeared to be broken. My guess is that the cow was dropped from high above down to the creek bank on the opposite side of the water from the cow pasture. Mike Duran said it was unusual to find any of his cows on the far side of the creek because their watering place was about 25 feet away on the pasture side. Being dropped from above onto the ground was first reported by sheriffs who worked with veterinarians or medical people on necropsies of the strangely dead animals. Multiple broken bones mean some animals have been dropped from a considerable height to where they are found dead and mutilated. I arrived back at my Albuquerque, New Mexico office from the Duran mutilation investigation on Sunday night, March 15th. 2 days later, on the morning of Tuesday, March 17th, in Honey, Colorado, about 15 miles northeast of Trinidad and about 40 miles east of Mike Duran's place, rancher Tom Miller was stunned to find a one-week-old male calf lying next to the feed bin, dead and so strangely mutilated that it might be unique in the annals of animal mutilation history. I have photographs of the young calf at my news website, www.earthfiles.com, and I have never seen anything like this one. The head is there connected to neck bones and spine, but there is very little else. No abdomen, no hide, and no internal organs. Then, at the bottom of the spine and broken hip bones, two back legs that look relatively normal were hanging only by hide. Further, both ears are cut off at the skull, leaving circular patterns of hardened skin. Both eyes and the tongue remained, which is also unusual, since the majority of animal mutilations include the removal of at least one ear and one eye, along with the removal of the tongue and jaw flesh. Tom Miller has been ranching on the same land for at least 50 years. And told me he has never seen anything like this. He said natural predators would leave a bloody, torn mess. There is no sign of blood anywhere on what is left of the one-week-old calf. Further, Mr. Miller told me the calf's mother was extremely protective of her calf and would not let anyone near him.
My cows are so protected of their calves that sometimes you can't touch that calf without that big mama cow being on top of you. And so that's the strange part of it, too. Sometimes I have to doctor my little calves, and I've got to be real careful and real quick to grab that calf and doctor it quick before that cow's on top of me. So how did this happen without the cow being just right in their face? That's a strange thing.
And what was the condition of the mother that morning when you found this completely eviscerated young calf?
Well, she was real excited, and she was bellowing, and actually all my cows were running around, and usually they don't do that. Whenever I bring feed, they're all right there at the trough. But this morning, the whole herd, they were running back and forth like they had been spooked.
How many cows in your herd?
There's about 80 of them out there.
So 80 cows were very agitated on the morning that you found this eviscerated calf, and the mother was especially bellowing and agitated.
That's right.
And how did you calm the mother down?
Well, I don't know as if I really did much. After I fed them, most of them came back and started eating, but the mother of this calf was still going around bellowing, and later in the day, she was still there after all of the rest of them left. She was still standing right there where I found the calf. Actually, it was pretty sad to see her there. She was just bellowing and didn't know what happened to her calf.
And could smell it probably there.
I think so, because she was standing just more or less at the spot where that calf was.
How did anyone or anything get this calf without a fight with the mother cow? And how did that one-week-old calf end up dead, with most of his body gone without blood, right next to the feed bin, far from his mother and the rest of the herd? Because the calf's hip bones were broken, Tom Miller wondered if the calf had been dropped from the air to the ground. This was the third mutilation on his ranch since the 1980s, when Tom first found a 500-pound steer with both ears, eyes, tongue, and some of the sex organs removed. His second mutilation was another young steer in 1998, in which both ears, eyes, tongue, and genitals were removed. And now the one-week-old male calf in March 2009. The bloodless, trackless nature of each animal death leaves Tom Miller's mind open to the possibility that the perpetrators are not humans.
If there's actually those aliens or whatever they are up there and they're coming down, why are they doing that? And why would they just take portions of a calf, and what do they do with it?
And why would they drop any of the animals that appear to clearly be dropped right back to the pasture or the feed lot or wherever it was that it was taken? If it is something that's non-human, why are they returning any of these animals to be found?
Yeah, that's true. And with mine, they dropped it where I could purposely see it. You know, it could have been down in the river somewhere in the brush. I'd maybe never found it, but it was dropped right where I had to see it. And whether that was just an accident or if it was on purpose or, it's strange.
And if something out there wants humans to pay attention to their intrusions, interactions with Earth life, why?
Yeah, why? Why do they do this just to animals? Or maybe they do take humans. I don't know. People are gone missing. I'll always be thinking of this, you know, is it going to happen again tomorrow or the next day or next week?
Lieutenant Colonel Philip J. Corso, retired from the United States Army and now deceased, wrote in his 1997 book, The Day After Roswell, quote, "In the Pentagon from 1961 to 1963, I reviewed field reports from local and state police agencies about the discoveries of dead cattle whose carcasses looked as though they had been systematically mutilated, and there were reports from people who claimed to have been abducted by aliens and experimented upon. Our intelligence organizations believed that the cattle mutilations that could not be obviously explained away as pranks, predators, or ritual slaughter were the results of interventions by extraterrestrials who were harvesting specific organs or harvesting for experimentation," close quote. Chris Zukowski, a Mutual UFO Network field investigator in Colorado, inspected Tom Miller's mutilated calf on Wednesday, March 18th, and collected tissue samples for delivery to the Colorado State University Veterinary Diagnostic Laboratories in Fort Collins for analysis. "As soon as there are any test results, I will report about the extraordinary calf mutilation at my news website, www.earthfiles.com, and in an upcoming Earth Files podcast." Historically, when there have been animal mutilations in one geographic region, there might be several more over the next few months. So I hope viewers and listeners will contact me about any new mutilation reports at my email address, earthfiles@earthfiles.com.
Thanks for listening to this Earth Files podcast, from the edges of science, environment, and real X-Files. Go to www.earthfiles.com to see more than 1,000 Earth Files reports with photographs, drawings, and documents. And visit Earth Files every day, every week, for new reports and new podcasts. That's www.earthfiles.com.